See the failures in ourselves, or maybe even, God forbid, we might even see failures in one another sometimes. But you know, we just have to let go and let God have His way. Amen. Let's turn in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 6. And just kind of a real privilege to be among you this morning. And you know, I believe God knows exactly what each one of us has need of this morning. And if we'll come with the right approach, I believe He'll meet every need.
Amen.
It's a promise. And I know myself, I'm a needy person. And, you know, I know who I have to deal with every day. And it's not my wife, it's me. Amen. I'm the guy I got to look at in the mirror every morning. That's my worst enemy. And I have to put him under my foot every day. I have to clean, spray stuff on him all the time. And it just seemed like every, you know what, the next day I had to do it all over again. And right. Same thing spiritually. You know, you get cleansed up from the Lord. You're so clean and you're revived. the next day you got to go right back and do it all over again.
That's right.
Amen. The soul's clean, but you know we got an inner man that we got to fight. We got to fight this body, this flesh. St. Matthew chapter 6. I want to speak on you this morning. The secret things belonging to the Lord. In Matthew 6, it says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which is in secret, shall reward thee openly." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, Lord. Lord, it's very heavy on my heart, Lord, what you want me to speak this morning, Father. And Lord God, you know the weakness in my flesh, Father, and Lord, my abilities, Father. I push all these things to the side now, Lord, and ask, Lord, that you could just use me this morning, Father, as just a vessel, Father, that you could speak and encourage this precious bride, Father. Lord, you know each and every one of them, Father. Lord, you know, Lord, every fingerprint that you've already put upon their lives, Lord, molding and, Lord, making the image in them that you want, Father. Lord, because we are your workmanship. Lord, it's not us, Father. Lord God, we humbly come before you this morning and ask you to take control of this service, Lord. Let nothing be said out of tone, Lord, nothing out of kilter, oh God. I commit it to you now. Lord, every thought that may hinder this service, Lord, every distraction, we push it to the side now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you also in Psalms 27, starting in verse 1. It says, "A psalm of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies and round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me." Amen. You know, it's the greatest victory in this life is brought from secret consecration into a holy life. It's whenever, it's not necessarily when people are looking at you or when you're in front of other people, your consecration, but it's your secret consecration to the Lord.
Yes.
It's whenever you're alone and you're by yourself. And during those times when you consecrate yourself into a holy life, it's during those times when no one's looking, it's just you alone. And during those times when you say, "God, I just want to please you. God, I just want to serve you. God, I want this Holy Ghost to live through me." Amen. But the greatest defeat brought is also from secret iniquities.
Yes.
The very same time span that can bring us the greatest victories in this life is also the same time that can bring the greatest defeats in our life. Amen. And a perfect example of that, Brother Tony, would be David.
Yes.
When David was behind the mountain and he was fighting and he killed the lion and he killed the bear, there was not an audience there to watch him do that. That was a long time between him and God. And because he got the silent victories right, He got the outward victories, right? Amen? And yes. God took care of those. And message of Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham says, as I was saying last evening, as Peter said, holy mountain. It wasn't a holy mountain. It was a holy God on the mountain. And as none of us has any right to claim holiness in ourselves, it's God's holiness that we rest in. I have none, neither do you. God wouldn't accept it anyhow, even if we had it. He only accepts Christ, and we being dead in Christ, He accepts us through Christ. Amen? In a house, there are many rooms of which different audiences would receive and accept, would be receive as being acceptable to be in. For instance, brothers amongst brothers and sisters amongst sisters would feel comfortable being accommodated in different areas of the house. Like, for instance, brothers would like to hunt. We would like to sit in the den and look at the bear and the nice deer on the wall and these different things. And the sisters would, of course, like to be in the kitchen. We seen that. They were making the pumpkins and all these different things. And it looked like you sisters just had a good time. Amen? It's good to have that fellowship. I asked my wife, I said, is there much fiber inside those? But you know, you have different things that different people can get comfortable in. You know, and things that would make me and the brothers comfortable wouldn't necessarily make you comfortable. But there's certain things that you can, certain areas that you can do to get comfortable. And we would make certain accommodations to attract certain audiences. If we want to make hunters feel comfortable, as I say, we would sit in the den, and blacksters would want to sit on the recliner, or cooks are in the kitchen or on the back patio of the grill. And you want your guests to feel welcome. And why would you want your guests to feel welcome? Because whenever they feel welcome, they're going to let down their guard, and they're going to begin to reveal the secrets that's inside their hearts. And have you ever noticed that there's many times people will say things in air, and if you will be honest with yourself, you look at yourself, you'll see this in yourself, I believe. Many times people will say things in air, or they don't even say anything at all because they're so nervous the whole time. You can have a fellowship there, and you've got all these things in your heart, and you want to share it. You want to reveal it to your brothers and sisters, but you've always got such a guard up that you're afraid to let down that guard and just be yourself. And see, that is our responsibility, is to make it so comfortable for our audience that they will want to reveal themselves to us. They will want to become open to us, because that's real fellowship. Real fellowship is whenever you can truly let down the bars and you can honestly, from heart to heart, you can speak to one another and say, you know, my brother and my sister, this is what I feel about these things. This is what I love about things. And there's a connection between you. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. It's true fellowship. And as a bird watcher, if a bird watcher wants the attention to attract birds, he must present an atmosphere that welcomes each type of bird. Now, you've got different kinds of birds out there, and if you want to attract a hummingbird, you don't want to put a slob of meat out there. It probably ain't going to do any good, right? You know, or if you want to attract a bluebird, you know, there's different things that you can do to attract different birds. And the more relaxed you can make that bird feel, the more you can observe the characteristics of that bird. And you've got to be able to take all of the things around that would bring a distraction to that bird. If it's a bunch of things that move all the time that might make that bird flighty, you want to get rid of those things. Or you want to put your feeder somewhere else where that bird feels comfortable. Because the more comfortable that bird's going to feel, the more you can truly observe the characteristics of that bird. Right, right. And there's one bird that we really want to observe this morning.
Amen.
And that's the lamb, the dove. Amen. Because, you know, the more comfortable we can make him feel, the more we can observe him and behold him. And that's what we want to do. In order for an open heart fellowship to take place, the atmosphere must be set and preparations must be made. You know, his sister Catherine had the sisters at the house. I'm sure there were special things that she done to make people feel comfortable. Amen. And at camp, our brother Tony went extra steps and, you know, he was in there cooking and I felt bad. I said, brother, I said, you mind if I go in here and say, oh, brother, this I enjoy cooking. And this is what he said. He said, I enjoy serving my people. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? He, you know, he was in there and he wanted to cook and he would stand here. And I tell you what, that brother's a pretty good cook, Sister Lisa. You can probably sit down for a little bit. He did pretty good. But you know, you want to make preparations to make your guest feel welcome. You know, as Brother Tony would do these things, he allowed the campers to be able to let down their guard, so to speak. Be able to sit around the campfire and Oh my, ain't nothing quite like that, is there? Just sit around the fire, and we were talking about this, Brother Matthew, how people have been doing this for years. Sitting around a fire and watching wood burn. You know, somebody from the world would look at that and say, you people are insane.
Right.
You're right. Leave us alone. It's
fine.
Right. Amen. It's a lot better. There's more comfort in sitting and watching a fire burn than sitting there watching some kind of a pigskin going across the sky or all these different things. You know, those things are fine. They have their areas. But you know what? For me, give me the campfire.
Yeah.
I like to sit around that. Amen. When it's visible that hidden preparations or even special preparations been made, the guest is more likely to feel welcome and to be filled with a heart of gratitude. And they will often feel a desire to bring forth a service to express their appreciation. You know, if I was to go to somebody's house and wink, wink, you know, if I go there and they've got chocolate sitting beside the bed, oh my, that stuff's good. You know, I love to be able to lay there, and you got them little bitty chocolates, and my wife's sitting over there. That's why I said that. She knows I like chocolate. You know, there's little things that you can do. There's special preparations that when you see that, and you go, and you're going about your fellowship, and you see the extra mile, and you say, you know what? They went an extra step to do this. It means something to you. And it brings something inside you. It makes you say, you know what? I want to do something. I wish there was something that I can do to show how grateful I am. And you know, when I come to the message of the hour, the thing that spoke to me more than anything was receiving revelation. That's something I never heard of before. You all heard about intellectual conceptions of reading different scriptures, but it was truly receiving a revelation.
Right.
Where God's word would actually open up and a meaning would come out of the scriptures, and in my heart it would burn, and something on the inside would say, that's right.
Right.
I believe that.
Amen.
It brought a gratitude in my heart. It made me where I wanted to do something for the Lord.
Amen.
That's how it made me feel, and it made me humble. It made me want to serve my brothers and sisters. It made me want to put my arms around them. And you know, I found in my life, anytime I start to lose that, I need to get back to revelation. Because once you get away from receiving revelation, that's when arrogance starts to come in. That's when all these different things come in. And we all have to fight those things. It's our flesh, amen? That's one of the greatest things that I'd ever receive is when I come to the Lord and the Lord began to open the Bible to me. And I remember as I would open the Bible and read about Abraham and Sarah and see different things and see certain things would spark out. Like, wow, this is awesome. This message is awesome. And I remember when I would see the prophet, a man that was a prophet, would bring up certain scriptures and revelations, and they were the same thing I seen. I was like, that's right. Amen? Those things were wonderful. Oftentimes, when an individual, what I had never been able to see was, God is not a God that you can just figure out. And I've seen these books, The Decoding of God, and all these different things. And you've got these numeric codes, and you look at the man that wrote the book, I don't want nothing to do with that. You know, I hope he finds an altar somewhere. But you know what? He's going to decode God and show this is the real God, you know. I never could see that because I've always seen God as being a God that would reveal himself.
That's right.
Amen. Not something you can figure out.
Amen. Right?
And you know, and the way God reveals himself, and for a husband and a wife, and I know there's a mixed audience, and a husband and a wife, the greatest mystery, the greatest gift that a woman can give her to her husband is in secret. Amen.
Right.
The secret things. And it's the secret things that belong to the Lord.
That's right.
They're His.
That's right.
And we should consecrate those things for Him.
Excellent.
Because, see, whenever the more you can go the extra mile to make that secret a special time, that's going to make Him have such a gratitude in His heart. Where He's going to say, I just want to do something for my bride.
That's right.
I just want to do something because you have made preparations. And that's what we need to do. We need to make preparation for our audience. And our audience is the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the only one that really matters. Oftentimes when an individual is figured out, they miss the true fellowship because their assumptions were wrong. Have you ever noticed you've talked to somebody and you knew him for a long time in this life and you just knew, I had this guy figured out and he is such and such. And then once you finally get with the person, you're like, my assumptions were so wrong. This is a genuine person. And then at the vice versa, somebody else, this is the genuine person. And then once you get real close, you're like, oh, wow, it wasn't quite what I figured out. See, a lot of times when we try to figure something out with our minds, most of the time we're wrong. Amen?
Right.
Oftentimes, when an individual has figured out, they miss true fellowship because their assumptions were wrong. And that goes a lot of ways. You know, maybe someone says a certain thing and you took it the wrong way. And you took it that wrong, you knock yourself out of fellowship.
Right.
And the fellowship is there, peace is there, it's because you took it wrong. And but see, a lot of times it's because we think we figure it out. The thing we have to do ultimately is give grace one to another. Amen. Because you know, I know who I live with every day. And I know that took a lamb to save me. And it has to keep me in subjection. Amen. The Pharisees and Sadducees had the law figured out, but they missed true fellowship with Jesus because their assumptions were wrong. There were many swallowings waiting for the promised son, but he only come one way. Many women, many ways, but many people thought when he comes, he's going to come this way. And because they all had their minds set, this is the way he's going to come, they missed him. And they're still missing him today.
That's right.
They're still missing him. Because people say, you know, if the Lord's going to come today, if he's going to come in my midst today, this is the way he's going to come. And many times we miss him. Because see, you got to realize the Lord wants to fellowship with us. He wants to speak to our hearts. He wants to have his way with us. But a lot of times, friends, it's not in the open. It's in the secret times. It's during those secret times the Lord really wants to speak to us. And to read a quote to you, it says, well, 8 days, let's notice little Mary with a black name to start with, supposedly to have an illegitimate child by Joseph, born out of wedlock. Everyone in the country then would scoff at her. There's that woman, not even married and got a baby. But in her heart, she knew whose baby that was. We was just talking on that this afternoon. Here he comes to the temple. Let's look, standing down the line. Now maybe 200 women or three. Way down there stood some of them holding a lamb, a rich man's offering. But way down there, I see a little virgin about 18 years old. A veil pulled over her face, holding a little baby wrapped in swaddling cloth. What is a swaddling cloth? I'm taught that it was the stuff on the yoke of an oxen when he's plowing, that cloth that they had on there to keep it from rubbing. They had to put that baby in that cloth so that they would just wrap the child around the baby. And there he was standing in the mother's arms in the temple. Everybody standing back. I wouldn't stand near that woman like that. That little old baby must be a poor little thing. Not even no clothes to put it on. But it was the Prince of Glory. Many times people judge and they don't even realize who they're judging. Amen.
That's right.
Here she had two little turtle doves in her hand. A peasant's offering. No one paying any attention to her. Let's take a way back over the temple. I see an old man sitting there reading the scroll, the tears rolling from his cheeks, saying, Lord, you promised me that I'd not die until I'd seen your Christ. Now I believe that you will someday. I'm getting awful old, but you'll show me someday. About that time, the Holy Ghost moved upon him. He said, rise, Simon, start moving. Where, Lord? Just move. Sometimes the Lord will take you to start moving. Amen. You don't know exactly where he's going. But this is the way the Lord times in secret times. Just move. Maybe he's going to speak to you tonight. It's your time to be healed. Rise, start moving. Where? I don't know. Just rise and start moving. And here he comes out through being led by the Spirit over here at the line. And the Holy Ghost is leading him straight to the woman, stood there in shame. And with his head bowed, watching her little baby, his tears dripped off upon his face. With little swaddling clothes, there that old priest reached over her arms without saying a word and took the baby in his arms and looked up and the tears rolling down his beard. He said, Lord, let your servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen salvation. This is a man that spent dedication to the Lord in his secret time. And he had a promise from God's word that I will see Jesus. I will meet him face to face. And friends, we have a promise that we're going to see a rapture take place.
Right.
We have a secret of it. And I want you to think about this man day in and day out, going through struggle after struggle, going to church service, going a week and saying, you know what, the Lord is coming. And all these different things, but he held on to the promise during his seeker times and he finally got it. Amen. Many people had wrong assumptions about Mary, therefore they missed Jesus. It wasn't Mary that was holy, it was Jesus that made her holy. Amen. And I got just a couple more quotes. I'll be done with the quotes. Just bear with me. We are all chosen to be carriers of life of whom have no holiness within ourselves. It's never been us, but it's a holy life. And this is one more quote Brother Bradley says. Here it is most evidently set forth that the perfect manifestation of God is in the Son, was in the dwelling of the Spirit, manifesting in word and works. This is exactly what we have been teaching all along. When the bride will get back to being a word bride, she will produce the very works that Jesus produced. The Word is God. The Spirit is God. They are all one. One cannot work apart the other. If one truly has the Spirit of God, he will have the Word of God. And that is how it was with the prophets. And they had the indwelling of the Spirit of God, and the Word come to them. Now this is how it was with Jesus, and the same Spirit, without measure, come to him. It's the Spirit of God that gives us unctions to go to prayer. It's the Spirit of God that unctions us to serve the Lord. But have you ever noticed? It's the Word of God that holds us. Because there's many times you will go through a span of time and there is an unctioning of the Lord to cause you to press forward. But there's also those times when you ain't got no feelings, no nothing, but you just got a promise word. And he says, that's all I've got. And you hold on to that word, and that word is what holds you. And during the Passover, God had to recognize the token that these people had. And it had to come a certain way. And if they did not bring it forth, the Passover, during that time, exactly the way God told them to do, God would not recognize that token. And friends, I'm telling you something. Listen to me. If you've never listened to me before, listen to me right now. We need to have that token on display.
Amen.
We've got to have that token. And when you have that token, that blood, that lamb, had to be a lamb without blemish. And you have to take that blood and you have to strike it on the doorpost. And the angel Lord to come through had to recognize that token. And we are identified with our sacrifice. Amen. That we have to have the token on display. And I want to go into just a little bit of a drama, I guess you would call it. And I'm going to ask the children to pay attention and everyone to be alert. And just see if you can't receive something from the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, in the old times, they had to bring forth a sacrifice before the Lord because they had things in their life that were wrong and they needed an atonement to bring forth before God. Amen. And they would take a lamb, and this lamb that they would bring forth, whenever they took the life, they would cut its throat. They'd have to put their hands on this lamb and the blood from that lamb would have to come upon them. Amen.
Right.
And they would have to feel the life going out of that lamb. And it was a very terrible time for the believer. And the life from that lamb could not come upon them, so they would leave with the exact same desires that they had before they ever come. And the very next year, it'd be the same thing. They would have to get a lamb, and they would have to do the same order all over again. And I want to introduce you to a little family that we're going to bring forth, and he's a humble father, a humble mother, and he's got children. And I want you to imagine that they're out at the barn right now. And as they're out the barn, you can hear the father saying, look, children, come. Come, mother, come. I want to show you something. Here it is. Here he comes. Watch. Watch. Here he comes. And he's pulling out, and it's a baby lamb. And this baby lamb he's holding up, he's showing it before his children. He's showing it to them. They say, Papa, is this the lamb that you've been talking about? Yes, son. This is the lamb I've been talking about. And the daughter says, is this the lamb during the Bible studies that you would give us, Father? Is this the lamb that you were talking about? Yes, my daughter. This is the lamb. And we must all partake of the lamb. And I can imagine the whole family got together. The mother, the father, the children. And they held on to this little newborn lamb. And they all put their hands on it. They all wanted to be identified with it. And they all began to pray together. God, we ask you to... We want to thank you, first of all, for providing the lamb to us. We want to ask you, God, that you will help him to grow strong and healthy and let his fur be pretty and white and all these things. And it was a family affair. Amen.
And I can imagine as they would go through, maybe they had to come up with a name for the lamb. I mean, what's an animal without a name, right? Let's say they named him Lambie. That'd be a good name for a lamb, right? And they would take this lamb, and all of them would take part of Lambie's life. You know, and I can imagine as the little boy would be pushing his trucks in the bedroom, he would be playing. Little Lambie would be right beside him, nudging the little truck with his nose, going through there. He partook of the lamb. Amen. I can imagine as the little daughter would be in there and have her teacup, and she would put a little apron on the lamb, and she'd sit there and say, "Tea time," and give tea to the little lamb. It was a family affair. The mother or the father would be going home from work, and his people from the work would say, "What are you doing with that thing? I got to go walk my lamb." You know, as he goes through and everyone's got their big dogs and all these different things, the father has got a lamb. And he's walking through and he don't care. He looks ridiculous carrying a lamb. You know, many times Christians look ridiculous. Amen. He's got this lamb and he's going around and he's got the lamb and he is not embarrassed by it. He's proud of this lamb. And I can imagine the mother would get with the sisters for Christian fellowship. And I can imagine they'd be sitting all around the table and they've got these big purses. And you know, I think I finally figured out why they got them big purses. They'd be sitting there and all of a sudden you look inside the purse and she's got her lamb inside her purse. Everywhere they go, they take the lamb. They are all reminded every day of how important this lamb is. And I can imagine as this lamb gets bigger and he gets older and the little sister would play with the fur and she'd pull the little thing out and go, "Bing!" You know, the little fur just goes back and say, "Look, Daddy, look how pretty the lamb is." See, they were attached to this lamb. There was a love for this lamb. They all cared for this lamb. And I can imagine as time would go on, the lamb would get a little bigger and, you know, they'd all have their time with him and father would sit down and read the scriptures with him as he did every night and he would have the little lamb laying across him, and they would all pet the lamb, and he would read about the Passover that's going to take place. And they would read about how the lamb was going to have to be brought forth. And they would see how that it was going to have to be a death take place. And one day, I can imagine they're sitting there, and one of the children say, "Daddy, are we going to have to do that?" "Yes, son, we're going to have to do that. There has to be a lamb without blemish. There has to be blood." And I can imagine as time goes on, it gets closer to the time. And finally, one day, it comes and it's time to bring forth the sacrifice. I can imagine the father would sit with the mother and the children. And they would hug this little lamb because they know what was coming forth. And they say, "Daddy, ain't there another way? Do we have to kill the lamb? Isn't there another way that we can get atonement?" He says, "No, this is the only way. We have to use this lamb because it takes a special lamb." And I can imagine they were all hugging this little lamb and they were saying, "Oh God, we love this lamb. We don't want things to happen to this lamb. We love this lamb." He says, "It has to go this way." And the father takes the lamb and going over the hill. And I can imagine the lamb says to himself, "Where are we going, Father? Are we going to the store today? Are we going to work today? Where are we going, Father?" And he's taking the lamb over the hill. And he says, "What?" And I can imagine the lamb is looking at the brothers and sisters. He said, "Don't cry. I'll be back. I'll be back. Don't worry. It's okay. I'll be back." He's going with the father over the hill. And I imagine as that little lamb begins to go closer to the temple to where the sacrifices are taking place. As he gets closer, he's starting to see things. He's starting to get a little nervous. God help me. As he gets closer, he begins to see blood. He begins to see a knife. And he's saying, "Father, why, what's going on here? Are we going to town? What are we doing here?" And I can imagine he comes up to the altar. He picks up the poor little lamb and lays the lamb on the altar. And I imagine by this time the lamb is beginning to shake and beginning to get worried. And he's fretting and he's saying, "What are you going to do with that knife? What's going on here?" And the father says, "I have to do this." And they take that lamb up, that knife, and they began to... He has to hold the lamb, and he began to cut his throat, and blood began to come out of the lamb. And I can imagine the father would have his hand upon the lamb, and he'd say, "I'm sorry. I don't want to have to do this. I'm sorry. And blood come out of the lamb, and the blood began to get on him. It was something emotional, brothers and sisters. It was something that he put his heart into. And he had his hand on the lamb, and the blood began to come upon him, and he was worried. And he said, I'm sorry. Please forgive me, lamb. I don't want to do this. I'm sorry. And as he began to leave that place, he had the blood upon him. And when he got closer to home, friends, I can imagine the brothers and sisters and mama were sitting around at the table. And they said, I imagine it's probably happening about right now. Imagine they're probably doing it right now. I said, oh my, how I love that lamb. How I love the time that we spent together with him. And all of a sudden, they see Daddy coming home. But Daddy's just got a rope, and he goes to this family. He said, it's finished. The price has been paid. And I can imagine as they held one another, Brother Tony, that blood got upon them too. And they were identified with the lamb. There was an identification. It was not just a normal service. It was something they all put their heart into. And you know, I remember another lamb that was brought forth. And his name is Jesus. And you know, you think about the disciples that were with this lamb. And they were with him. They seen the love that he had, the kindness that he had. And I remember times of reading the scripture where John would lay his head upon his bosom. And they could even hear his heart beating. I want to be that close to Jesus. Amen. Imagine they were sitting there and they were so close to Jesus Christ. And in their hearts, they said, I'll never deny him. Lord, I will never deny you. And Peter told him, he says, God, I will be, God be for against it. I will never deny you. He says, Peter, before the cock crows thrice, you'll deny me three times. And I can imagine whenever they took Jesus and they scourged him. And they beat him. And Peter, in the midst of all these things, denied the Lord, not once, not twice, but three times, and cursed white. And I can imagine Peter, as he was sitting in a corner by himself, he was thinking about how shameful he was, because he denied the Lamb. You know, many times we do things in our life, and we don't mean to. But we find ourselves denying the Lamb. We find ourselves denying the Lord during the secret times. And because we denied Him in the secret times, we deny Him in the open times too. Amen. And I can imagine Peter as he was by himself and he began to reflect back. And he said, I denied Him. I denied the Lord. I ain't worthy of nothing. I ain't worthy of anything. I was so grateful to see what God was doing. But now I look at myself. Look what I've done. God was so good to open the Word to me. God was so good to speak to my heart. And I turned right around and denied Him. I imagine he would look back at the teachings that he know is right. He says, I know the truth was right. I know that Word was right. He was vindicated. It was God in flesh. I know it was. I even said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I said those things. I turned right around and denied Him. God, forgive me. I can imagine he felt so overwhelmed. He says, I don't even deserve forgiveness. I don't deserve anything. I'm wicked. I'm filthy. I'm dirty. There's no hope for me. God showed me His truth and I walked away from it. God, forgive me. That way. In your heart, you know what's right, but you find yourself denying the Lord. And you say, God, please forgive me. And then Peter gets a message from the Lord. And he goes out of his way and he says, you tell them to come, and you make sure you tell Peter too.
That's right.
You tell Peter to come. Have you ever noticed you just in yourself, you thought you so let the Lord down. You so let Him down. And you say, you know what? He'll never speak to me ever again. I finally crossed the final line. I've done it. I've crossed the line. And the next thing you know, here He comes. The Lord will drop right down and begin to deal with your heart all over again. That's mercy, brothers and sisters.
Right.
That is absolute mercy, because you know what? We know the real us. And you know what? When we're standing in the presence of that light, how darkest will we look in ourselves? We look and we stand in that great light, in that hour. When we look there and that light shines upon us, just like that one brother said, have you ever stolen your life? Have you ever lied in your life? And you're like, oh no, I wouldn't do that. I would never do that. And this great light shine upon you, like, oh my goodness, I'm filthy. Oh, I forgot about that. I forgot about this. And you find out how guilty we really are in ourselves. But you know, the most beautiful thing about all this is that father who had all those things in his life, all of the failures that he was very aware of. We're aware of our failures, aren't we? The devil reminds us every day. I imagine he had all of these failures, and through all of that grief of bringing that lamb forth, you know, they never even looked at him. The only thing they looked at was that lamb.
All right.
That's right. No matter how big his sickness was, no matter how big his wrongs were, they didn't even look at the Father. They looked to the Lamb. And because that Lamb was accepted, he was accepted too. Amen. And that's what we got to remember, brothers and sisters. He ain't even looking at us. He's looking at the Lamb.
Amen.
Amen. And it makes you just want to serve him.
Amen.
It makes you just want to do something for him. It makes me just want to wash his feet. It makes me want to put my arms around him. And, you know, if I see a hole in his shirt, it makes me want to take my shirt off and give it to him. Amen. It just makes you want to do something for him. And you know, the next thing that you can do next to him is right here.
Right.
When Paul was on the road to Damascus, he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. See, when they were persecuting the bride of Christ, the people, they were persecuting Christ. And the way we treat one another and the way we act toward one another, it's exactly the way we treat the Lord. And you know, and that's why in foot washing, it's a very emotional time for me. Because I know who I am and who I was. And I know where God's taking me. Amen. True communion. True fellowship. You know, when they did a lamb, they didn't just pick out one with a broke leg or something. They took the best lamb. And they gave God the best. And you know what? He deserves the best. He deserves the best we've got. You know, in our time, he deserves our time. Our money, he deserves our money. That's right. If we will search our hearts, friends, I believe we can all say, you know what? I need a cleaning. I need just a good old washing out. You say, but Brother Daniel, you just had a cleaning last weekend. I sure did. Had one yesterday, too. And this morning. We need a cleaning. And we say, God, clean my desires. Because you know what? It's the secret things that belong to the Lord. And I realize that scripture can be used two ways. I understand that. This is the way I felt the Lord show me this morning. Our secret times, our secret things, they're not ours in the first place. It's God's. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, friends, if we will seek Him first in His righteousness, others will be added unto you. You know, when a doctor, if you got a broke arm, you can go to the doctor and say, Doctor, fix me. He'll think you're crazy. But what he can do is set that arm in place, and life will heal that arm. Right? God heals. And if you've got something in your heart that's wrong, and you've got something, you know what, you say, you know what, I'm really struggling with this. I know it's wrong. I know God's dealt with my heart on it. I know it, and you know right now if God's breaking your heart about it. If God's dealing with your heart in that thing, you can set it in place. We can set it in place right now. It's going to take God to heal it. And you say, God, I don't want to go that way ever again. Heal me, God. And you put that thing in place this morning. And you say, God, you know the real me. You know the thing I'm struggling with. I want to set it straight this morning. I want it set straight, but not just set straight. Heal it, God. Take care of it this morning. Amen? Because He's here this morning. And He'll heal that thing. You take a hog and you clean him up. You shave him. You put cologne on him. You put all these things on him. And you give him a mud pen right here, and you give him a clean house right here, he'll hit the mud pen every single time. No matter how many times he tries to set things straight, no matter how many times he tries to clean himself up on the outside, no matter how many times he tries to pretty up the outside, the inside of him is still a hog. He's still got a nature that's wrong. And because the nature's wrong, he keeps going wrong. But see, once you change the nature, He don't have to make himself quit doing those things. Something on the inside will change. God will change to the desire of him, and he won't want those things anymore. He'll want those things, amen? He'll want the things of above. And you know, and you say, God, I want that appetite. I want an appetite that will want you, God, during my secret times. God will give that to you this morning. Amen. And you know, it's our attitude toward it. And see, we should be the sweetest people on earth. I want to be sweet. I want the Lord be in my life where someone squeezes me, all they get is the rose of Sharon. The Lord knows I need a lot of work. Amen. But that's the way we need to be, friends. And I'm telling you what, if we need healing this morning in your body, or if we need healing in your soul, he's here this morning. And I believe he wants to meet our needs. Amen. Let's just let every head be bowed. Let's not rush this service this morning. Let's concentrate before the Lord this morning. And you say, you know what? I know the things I battle with. I know the things that I struggle with. And I know how much I do love the Lord truly. And God, I just want to serve you this morning. You search your own heart right now. Be pure before God. If that light was to shine on you right now, where would you stand? You know, we have an altar that's on the front, and you've also got an altar right where you're at. Well, you can put these things before God and say, God, forgive me. And I want to tell you, the altar is open. If you want to commit these things to God, and you want to lay this thing before God, you do not have to come to the front. I'm not going to tell you that anyways. You can do it right where you're at, in the secret. And you tell God yourself where you're at. Amen. If you have a need and you want us to pray, you just lift your hand. And we're going to pray together. And God sees your hands gone up. Every head is bowed. You get sincere before God right now. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And Father, I have spoken, Lord, but you laid on my heart early this morning, Lord. Father, how we need a cleansing, Father, and Lord, to consecrate to you the secret times, Lord. God, when it's just us and you, Father, Lord, you see the hands that have gone up, Lord Jesus. Lord God, and you know us, Lord, and as they're reaching out to you right now, Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ that you will walk the aisles, Lord. Oh God, and knock on every heart, Heavenly Father. Lord God, if we were going to welcome some great somebody in the world, Father, we would make all these preparations, oh God. Lord, we would want to make all these things to make them feel comfortable, Lord. Lord, but this morning, you are the only one that we want to invite, oh God. Lord, you're the one that we want to invite, Lord, where you will feel so comfortable in our presence, Lord, that you will be able to reveal yourself unto us, oh God. And Lord, that we may behold thy beauty, O God. Lord, that we may be able to behold thy characteristics, Lord Jesus. Lord, you know the secret of this tabernacle, O God. Lord, I'm asking you, Father, walk the aisles, Lord Jesus, this morning, Lord. And knock on every heart, Lord, as we have our own altar, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask you, Father, help us to consecrate ourselves to you, Lord. Let there be a cleansing power among us this morning, Father. Lord, I ask you, Father, help us to be identified with the Lamb today, Lord Jesus. Wherever we go, Father, may the blood be upon us, Lord Jesus. I commit these precious people before you, Lord. Have your way, Lord Jesus. I'm going to welcome the musicians to come forth if they'd like to. Don't rush this service, brothers and sisters. Don't rush this opportunity. You be sincere before God and see if God don't meet this need for you. See, He wants us to be led by His Spirit. And He wants to reveal Himself to us. And we need a cleansing power this morning. Let's pretend to play something. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
the Passover time, there were many that were old and they had been following the Lord for so many years. They had been following, going through the trials of temptations and burdens of slavery and all these things. And I can imagine that they were began to get weary towards the end of the Passover. And they in their cells began to feel, you know what, I just don't know if I'm going to make it. I'm so tired. I get so weary sometimes. You know, I don't know if I'm going to make it. We get weary in this life sometimes, friends. But I can imagine remembrance of the word that holds us. I can imagine them hearing Moses say, there won't be one hoof left behind. And I'm telling you this morning, there ain't going to be one hoof left behind. You know, you may look at your loved ones or yourself even and say, I don't know if I'm going to make it. There won't be one hoof left behind. Amen. As you sing this song, you ask God to clean you. And let's be a witness. And let's have our token on display. Amen.
Created me a clean heart.
Let's all sing.
And renew a right spirit.
Feel that suffering and how they were very much
you know, associated in their spirit with that suffering of that lamb, and that after time went on, it became a tradition. It became something that wasn't that important. In other words, people would come to church after a while that really didn't have the same feeling as it used to. And they wouldn't come to their prayer closet with the same feeling that they used to. And what you find out there, Brother Bram said, it became a stink. Going through the same motions, but without the depths of the heart, it became a stink to God. And so he said, that's the way it is with communion. And what Brother Daniel described here about our personal walk, our secret place that belongs to the Lord, it's the same way. Is our life with the Lord, how we spend our time with Him, especially in the secret place, because what you are comes out when you're by yourself. And so the victories that are won there are won openly, and the battles that are lost there are lost openly also. And so that's what it is when we don't, in our personal walk, when He doesn't mean to us what He used to. When we don't have the depth of our heart in that secret time, well then, that's not what the Lord wants. I want my wife to love me, not because of fear, not because of this or that, not because she wants a paycheck, if I could bring her one. Not that. I want her to love me from her heart, yeah, because she loves me for who I am. And that's the way God is. He wants it that way. And so it's in that secret time. Now I want to tell you something. Psalms 27 is rapture text.
Yeah.
In the secret of His tabernacle. He wants to be in that secret place for you. Remember in the vision how people went into the room and the Lord said, I'll meet you in there. And people went in with all manner of sicknesses. And when they come out, we were perfectly healed. And nobody could know what happened in that room except the person themselves that went in that room. That's third pool. And so it's rapture. Brother Daniel's talking about this morning is what's in the vortex of rapture. Because it said in a time of trouble. So it's in a time of trouble where it's the hardest to go and have that secret place, you know. But in a time of trouble, He would put us in that secret place. We can enter into that secret place where it really needs to be genuine, right? And it's in that time of trouble He would do that and bring to us rapture. And so that secret place, that secret time with the Lord is all about what rapture is about. You want to know how to be raptured? Well, that's where it's at. It's right there in that personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's in the time of trouble that He does that. And so we want to prepare, as Brother Daniel said, we want to prepare, do things to invite that special time. As he was mentioning camping and stuff, we had a wonderful time. We made provisions for that. And so you want to make provisions in your personal walk for the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, there's things that you can do that can make Him come and visit you in the secret of His tabernacle, in your prayer closet.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, it's not necessarily, it is a quote, but I'll just go ahead and say it. You've heard me say it before. It's a quote that Brother Ram told Brother Biscoe. He said, when He comes near, something good always happens. Mm-hmm. And I challenge you to search out a time when He came near and that wasn't the case. When He comes near, when He comes to your secret place, that you provoke Him to come by your attitude to that secret place. You know what? The Lord woke me up this morning. Brother Daniel and I were talking just a little bit. We didn't really share a whole lot of what was on our heart, but Brother Daniel, he told me, he said, that's what I was sharing with him. It was exactly, he went right along with it. And I can tell you what the Lord spoke to me this morning resonated so strong when I woke up. Every day, His mercies are new. Isn't that what we heard this morning? Every day, His mercies are new. So that's all we have to do. God has a way. He has a provided way that we can enter in. And all this world, and we rub against the world. And as Brother Daniel said, you know, he cleans and puts on a cologne and stuff one day and has to turn around and do it again the next day. Well, that's just the physical type of what our spiritual walk is. We walk in this world. We're not part of the world, but we get the world on us. And we have to go to the cleansing power of the Lord each day. I'll say it again. I'll say it different. We have to go to our secret place each day. We don't bathe openly. We bathe secretly. Okay? everybody understand that. That's the one thing you've got to have more than anything else. It's not in the jump, it's not in the shout, it's not in the beat of the music, but it is in the Word. And it is with you and the encounter you have secretly with that Word. And if you want to stand out someday and you want that supernatural power to begin to whirl around and come upon your flesh and change your body, you let that power change you in your prayer closet first. And I know what I'm saying when I say this, because it's the thing that's ever foremost before me continually in my own walk. Continually, that's where it's at. The victory comes in that way. So we just thank the Lord for what He said this morning. And you know, He said the token must be on display, but you know that token is not your blood. Right. It's not your life. It's not your thoughts. It's not your responses to the world when they question you about what you believe. It's not what you're not to. What's on display is not supposed to be what you think.
Right.
What your response is, your life. What's on display, your answer to the world needs to be the blood, the life that was in the blood, the word of the hour, the message that God has given. That's what you want to put on display. And I'll tell you what, someone might ask me a question that I can't answer, that I don't, maybe I don't understand it all myself, that I can't answer exactly. But I'll tell you what I do. If I just take this and say, well, here's all I know to say,
yeah,
and just give them the word, then you know what? It's God's responsibility to go from there.
Amen.
As long as we put that token on the display, then it's His job to meet that death angel who wants to come. See? So put it into His hand by constantly laying it there and taking that blessing. Go do a study in the Scriptures of His mercies. I looked it up this morning. His mercies. He extends them to us constantly. He said He would give the sure mercies of David. Do a study on that. You'll find out God's mercies are absolutely endless. And what does He do when He gives mercy? Where we are guilty and judgment should come upon us, and He shows mercy and doesn't send us to the judgment that we deserve, but gives us another round.
Amen.
That's what His mercies are. And every day when we fail, every day His mercies are new. Amen. We just thank the Lord for that. I'm going to pray just for a moment as Brother Tim gets a closing song. I appreciate what God gave us this morning. Very powerful. I want everyone, I would that everybody could hear it. And I know that there's a lot who won't, but we want it to take place in our lives. Anyway, let's bow our hearts to it. Lord, we thank You for what You've sent our way this morning. We realize, Lord, that standing among us is someone greater than just us mortal beings. Lord, to have a word that's fitly spoken just at the right time. Lord, a way that You're able to bring a scripture out to us. Lord, that if we would choose to search the entire Bible to cause in our hearts what to happen that has happened today, perhaps we wouldn't even come to this thought. Maybe we'd go some other route. But Lord, when You speak, it's always correct. It's always right on time. Thank You for this today, Lord. I ask God that You allow Your saints, Your people, Lord, to go in the blessing of what they've heard this morning, Lord. And Lord, in their prayer closet, in their time that You give, they have tremendous victory there. Lord, may You come and meet them, build their strength, build their life up in holy strength, Lord. We love You. Thank You for all that You do for us. This day and these people in Your hands. And as always, Lord, we always want to identify and ask You in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You can be dismissed as we can service. Yeah, next weekend is Ben Beer, Saturday night, Sunday morning. And I know he's really looking forward to being with us, so I want you to be in prayer for that service and the Lord to pick up and actually take what you heard today and actually show that it meshes right together and move on with it. And, you know, I'll say this because it keeps coming to my mind. I refer to you as the saints of God. And I'll tell you why I do this, because invited to. But back when we were writing the minutes, not the minutes, the corporate book, bylaws and stuff at the church, and we had professionals look at it, a professional who does that, look at it and show that it was, you know, legally lined up with what it needed to be. In there, I referred to you as saints. And he came back in his response to me to respond to anything he thought needed to be changed. And that was about the only, other than some typos, that was the only thing he wanted to change. He said, "Mr. Roberts, did you mean to call these people saints?" Because the word does. But you know what? In the Catholic system and all that, you're not a saint. You go way off out there somewhere beyond time. They make you one.
That's right.
But according to the word of God, you are now. Why? Not because you're holy, but because there's a holy God that lives in you.
Amen.
Amen. And that's why we're saints. And I'm glad to be associated with saints that are on this side. Amen. God bless you.
Shut in with